You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
New Zealand's tax system is unique among developed countries. While we have comprehensive taxes on income and the consumption of goods and services, we lack a comprehensive capital gains tax, net wealth tax, or inheritance tax. Ahead of the upcoming election, various parties are campaigning on making changes to the country's tax system. Labour has proposed a relatively narrow capital gains tax, while the Greens have proposed a wealth tax of 2.5% per annum on the value of assets above $10 million, among other new taxes. In addition, major parties such as National have proposed a change to the KiwiSaver system, making things compulsory to improve people's retirement resilience. To help make sense of these proposals, I spoke to Dr. Lisa Marriott, an expert in taxation who teaches at Victoria University of Wellington. And retirement savings have been a big topic of discussion, not just around this election policy, but also coming up in the previous year where we've seen some changes, or the previous few years, I should say, where we've seen some changes to the government's KiwiSaver contributions and employer contributions to KiwiSaver as well. How are these policies stacking up, and what does it mean materially for people when they're looking at how their retirement savings will work out?
Yeah, it's such a good question. And in fact, it hasn't, you know, I would say that it hasn't just been over the last few years that we've seen all these changes. I'd say it's probably been over the last three decades that we've had all this political bargaining and so on around retirement savings. But look, it's actually really good, I think, where we are now, where the political parties seem to be a wee bit more aligned with the direction of where retirement savings policy is heading. So you've seen New Zealand First today being critical of National, essentially accusing them of stealing their policy. And it's not very often that political parties are that aligned that you can barely tell the policy detail apart. So if we have a look, if you're happy to go down this direction, we can have a look at what National have proposed and how we might look at that from a perspective of, you know, whether it's good for savers and good for New Zealand as a whole.
Yeah, that'd be really interesting to talk about, especially because, I mean, New Zealand First really broke this policy this election with their announcement that people would be receiving $1,000 to go in that KiwiSaver from birth. How impactful is that $1,000, and how does National's policy stack up against that, and also just what we've got right now in general?
Yeah. So one of the things with savings is starting early is such a good thing. Obviously, you've got the benefit of compounding interest, but you've also got the signalling that sits alongside having a message from the government saying, look, we want you to start from the moment you are born saving for your retirement, even though that is probably going to be at least 65 years further down the line. So there's a real sort of the really strong message that sits there when the government is encouraging you actively to do that. So it's positive from that perspective. The 1,000 or 1,500 depending upon which policy you look at, is great. It's a good start. It probably can't be too much more than that because it starts to get quite expensive. But as far as that amount goes, by the time it's invested in a high growth fund for probably several decades, it's going to be substantial. And also the intention is, of course, that once it becomes compulsory, that people will then add to that, and by the time they reach their retirement age, they will have a substantial sum of money. I guess the question that is probably in a lot of people's mind, and it certainly is in mine as well, is what is the trade-off here? So at the moment, our retirement savings policy is mostly New Zealand superannuation. You know, people turn 65, and as long as you've met the residency test, you get the pension at age 65. There's no other test that you have to pass. So the reason why we haven't had, like Australia, for example, a lot of other benefits to try to encourage people to save is because we can't afford to, because all our retirement savings pot of money, if you like, is going into New Zealand superannuation. So if we're now going to start funding this in a different way, so giving people funds from birth or whatever it looks like, then there's another question around what do we have to lose? And you can sort of see, well, it sort of looks like National might be going to suggest something about increasing the age of eligibility, which is interesting because it does tend to be one of those things that's been a little bit sacrosanct in New Zealand, if it's the right word. People are, you know, they feel like they have earned their pension at age 65. So any discussions around increasing the age of retirement, you know, they've been tricky.
And we see this situation, and we can compare it also to, on the other side of things, we've had Labor and the Greens both announcing at least some portion of their tax policy, with the Greens looking at their comprehensive tax policy over the weekend. And that new tax policy is looking at some cuts to income tax and introducing some taxes in other places, particularly for the Greens. What would this tax look like? Is this something that we've seen existing in place overseas? Is this something that there's precedent for?
Yeah, so there is a lot going on with the Green Party tax policy. There's lots of different components, but actually it sort of has to be that way because you need your tax policy to be coherent as a whole. So one of the main things they have done is they have suggested a wealth tax. And this is sort of interesting because it's at a very high level. So it would kick in for an individual if they have assets over 10 million or for a couple over 20 million. So that's really pretty high, but the rate is also quite high. So the rate is 2.5% per annum. So if you have assets of 10 million, for argument's sake, you'd be paying 2.5% per annum tax on those assets. So, you know, over 4 years, that's 10% of the value of those assets you'd be paying as a tax. So that's pretty high. And alongside that, they're introducing an inheritance and a gift tax. That's really important because if you don't have that, then all you end up with is assets being passed on to other generations to avoid wealth taxes. There is a suggested tax on big tech. That's sort of important. It's a fairly novel approach that they've got there, a 5% withholding tax. The reason why I might be sounding a little bit hesitant on that one is because I think a lot of those taxes in theory sound great. You know, definitely we should tax big tech companies who are, you know, in our environment here in Aotearoa and not paying any tax. But the problem with that is you can end up with retaliation. You know, we've seen that in the US. But actually, probably the main issue there is that you could just end up with higher costs passed on to New Zealand consumers. So I didn't see anything in the Green Party policy about that. But as with all these sorts of taxes, it's never simple. There's always other considerations. What else have we got there? We've got the company tax rate increasing for large companies up to 33%. The interesting thing with that is New Zealand's company tax rate at 28% is already very high amongst OECD countries. That would push us up to being, I think it's only Colombia and France would be higher than us in OECD countries. Companies are often mobile, and certainly tax rates tend to be something that companies are sensitive to, so you could get some behavioural change, which may be quite negative out of that, potentially. Oh, now, one of the things we have got, which I think is really interesting, is a change in the personal income tax rates. So at the moment, these range from 10.5% through to 39%. What they're thinking of introducing is a tax-free threshold right at the bottom, so you don't pay tax on your first $10,000 of income, and then income over $160,000 would be taxed at 45%. So from a tax perspective, I would say that's a lot more progressive. You've got a lot more ability to tax people on their ability to pay, which the current system doesn't quite so much.
I mean, I think the general gist is there in sort of the creation of extra money from some of these larger taxes to fund then the tax-free threshold at the bottom. I guess my question is, when we're looking at the current economic policies that are being pushed by all of these parties, it's difficult to think of the material impact that they might have on people, right? Especially because we've been living through a cost of living crisis. Last election was particularly focused on the cost of living crisis, and over the past 3 years, we haven't really seen that many improvements on the costs for people in their everyday lives. We haven't seen material differences in employment particularly. And so when we're looking at these policies going into this election, it's really difficult to imagine, I mean, could these even do anything, right? And there's a lot of apprehension out there, and I think that's really interesting to see. What would you say to people looking at these policies? What are some things they might be interested in looking out for? What are some things that people should take confidence in, that sort of thing?
Yeah, so I think one of the quite interesting things is the tax-free threshold, because that will impact on anybody who's earning. That would mean first $10,000 would have no tax on it. Now, if you're a low-income earner, that could be quite substantial. With the Green Party policy, they have actually costed out what this would mean. So, for example, somebody, and I'm taking this straight from the Green Party policy, somebody earning $40,000 a year would get $27 extra in their hand every week as a result of this policy. So that's not insubstantial. And then the minute you get up over $170,000, what that would mean is people would be losing money. Whereas recently in the tax changes, there's been a focus on making sure that really very few people are losing out from the tax changes. And often what that means is that the people who earn the most actually benefit the most, whereas this one, the policies that they're proposing would actually see direct benefit to the people who are earning the least. So there's certainly those proposed tax changes. I think they would be of interest to most people. And then I think over time what you would see is as the wealth tax and inheritance taxes are paid, potentially more money if the technology tax works, as well as there is a proposed tax for a levy on banks, what you might see is governments able to spend more. So that might be in areas, well, it's probably health and education, but it's possible that that might also result in other costs that people don't have to carry themselves.
Mm. And you mentioned you had some sort of criticisms of this Green Party tax policy, and I think there's a lot of apprehension towards introducing a bunch of taxes among the voter bases in New Zealand. There was certainly some criticism of Labour's capital gains tax, but on the other side of things as well, last election, Labour choosing not to introduce the capital gains tax was also a site of some criticism. So I guess when we're thinking of building a tax policy for Aotearoa that will work not just for the government and allowing us to spend the amount on the public sector that we need, but also work for members of the public, what kind of things would you like to see, regardless of political party, in developing that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So essentially, at its most basic level, there are three ways of collecting tax revenue. So there's income, you know, people who earn wages and salaries, and we tax that really well in New Zealand. That's very comprehensively taxed. The second way is through GST, goods and services, and again, we do that really well in New Zealand. Pretty much everything we buy, we pay 15% tax on. You can think that that's really good or not, but it's a very effective tax. The third way is from assets. So these are your types of capital gains taxes, wealth taxes, inheritance taxes, gift taxes, estate taxes, whatever. It's to me, it's all sort of in that similar sort of pot. And we don't tax this comprehensively at all. And the most important thing is that we actually do tax it, because even though people think of this as income, and probably unhelpfully we tend to refer to these things as gains rather than income, actually they're the same. It doesn't really matter if you sell a house and make $100,000 or if you earn $100,000, ultimately you still end up with that money in your bank account. So talking about this as a gain rather than as income is maybe a little bit unhelpful, but capital gains, or capital income if you like, that needs to be taxed in some way. And that's just a fairness issue as much as anything.
That was tax expert Lisa Marriott speaking to me about various different financial policies announced by multiple parties in New Zealand.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.